The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, Jonathan, for that. Praise the Lord for that. I have been doing a little bit of a series on Sunday morning, which I normally don't do. I like doing series, and I teach series on Wednesday night. Wednesday night's a little bit different. If you have not attended a Wednesday night service, I would recommend highly at least you try to come and attend one time to see what it's like. But on Wednesday nights, what I do is oftentimes, more than not, I will take a series, maybe a series on faith, maybe a series on the family, maybe a series on finances, maybe a series on something else, such as on Wednesday night, I've been teaching Navigating Through on Wednesday nights during our Wednesday night Bible study here of recent, navigating through different problems and different temptations and different circumstances, navigating through. That's what I've been doing. But on Sunday morning and Sunday night, normally I do not do series whatsoever. But I started last Sunday morning and talking about being confident. What could build that which is your confidence in serving the Lord? And so I taught and preached Sunday morning on confidence, and Sunday night last week on confidence, and this morning I'll do it again. And I want to speak on the subject matter of becoming confident through your confession. Becoming confident through your confession. Now watch this. Over in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 1, as we reread this, the Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You and I have a sin problem. Now, can I tell you that most of the time, in generality, when you hear somebody speaking about sin, they're speaking at a level that is not God's level. When God speaks of sin, it's a very serious thing. When man speaks of sin, more often than not, he'll say it in a joking fashion, or perhaps he'll be extra light about it. But yet the Bible has many things to say about sin. Over in Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 2, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated you." Now that's pretty heavy right there. But your iniquities, that's sin, talking about in the plurality there, more than one. It says iniquities, not iniquity. The Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated you," it says, "and your God, and your sins," watch what it says, "and your sins have hid his face from you." Listen to it now, "and he will not hear you." All right? So one thing we know for sure, that iniquities, sin, causes God not to hear our prayers. Now, I don't know about you, but there's not a day in my life that I don't need to get answered prayers. There's not a day that goes by in my life that I can go unreliant on God, whereby I can live my life void of God doing something that I need personally in my private world. All right? And so we understand that sin is that which will cause a separation between us and God. So much the so that God hates sin, that he says that if you have iniquities or you have sins in your life, one thing I will do for sure, I will not hear you. Now, that should be inspiring enough. That ought to be motivating enough for you and I to say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep a short sin list, and I'm going to make sure that things are confessed up and they are given to God, asked forgiveness of, so that I can get my prayers answered. I really believe this with all my heart. I believe that God has many things he wants to give God's children, many things that he wants to give God's children, but the reason that God does not give those things to God's children is because God's children has limited him on the things that he so desires to give to his children, because they are so much wrapped up in their prideful, playful, personal lives that they do not take serious an Almighty God that wants to work in and through their lives. I met with a man a while ago, and he said, "Preacher," he said, I'm hooked in and enslaved to hardcore pornography." I said, "Well, you need to get out of that." He said, I tried to. He said, "But every time I try to, there's a craving that returns, and that craving has overtaken me." Now, can I tell you that that craving that he has is going to destroy not only his life, but his mind, and not only his mind and his life, but perhaps the mind and the others that are associated with him. So what is it that man chooses to do with his sin? Let's do a little Bible study this morning, if we may. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible says, here it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So we see this. Here's what man oftentimes chooses to do with his sin. He will cover his sin. He will cover his sin. Now, in this particular verse, you see how he covers his sin. The Bible says that he chooses to walk in darkness, not in truth, but it uses a word there. It says, "We lie." All right? Now, here, a man will lie to others about his sin. Wait now, there's consequences to that. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, the Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." Now, how can you tell if perhaps a man is covering his sin? You can see if he's prospering in his life or not. Because many times, a person that lives in sin and is not right with God, God will bring judgment upon their life, and you will see that what they touch turns to ashes rather than that which they touch turning to that which is the blessings of God. All right? Many times you'll find out that God will judge a person financially. He will judge a person financially that is in sin. He will take away their finances, and they become financially in debt to the point and to the place that they have uncomfortable living, because they're living in sin. That's one of the judgments of hidden sins. You see that throughout your Bible. The Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever," I love this, it shows what sin is good for. Amen. It says this, "But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them," it says, "shall have mercy." So let me tell you, friend, what sin is good for. Sin is good for two things. It is good for confessing. Now, by the way, confessing means that you agree with God, even sometimes against yourself. In other words, you're saying that I know that this is wrong, and in so passing the judgment that you know that this is wrong, you're saying, in essence, I know I'm wrong. So you're agreeing with God sometimes, in essence, against yourself. You're confessing it. In other words, you're getting down where true living is. You're getting down where the metal pests, where the rubber presses against the metal. You're getting down to a place where you understand that you cannot accelerate in your Christian life. You cannot be blessed in your Christian life. You cannot be able to go forward in your Christian life until you get to the point and to the place where you become real with God and you allow God to become real with you. See, Christianity is not a game and it's not a religion. It's a relationship. And so when I build my relationship with Jesus Christ, here's what happens. Now, as a child of God, I'm able to receive strength that other men do not have, wisdom that other men do not have, that which is a direction which other men do not understand, simply because not of the religion, but the relationship that I have with the very Son of God, God, the creator of the universe. We understand this. We understand that the Bible teaches right here that we can have a fellowship with one another. But we don't have fellowship with one another. It hurts us, and it hurts our fellowship with God if we lie and do not confess and forsake. I said it's good for two things. It's good for confessing, and it's good for forsaking. Now, what does that mean to forsake? It means that you immediately walk away from that. Or you decide that you are walking away from that has a hook in you. If something has a hook in you, you ought to decide before God that you'll walk away from that. Why? Because that hook that the devil has in you will eventually pull you down. Now, can I say that many times when a person is living in private sin or, yes, even open rebellion, they'll doubt. They'll doubt salvation. They'll doubt God's love. They'll doubt God's forgiveness. They'll doubt God's help. They will doubt God's hope simply because of the fact that they have lied, if you will, so much so that they do not see the truth when even the truth is brought before them in a bold fashion. All right? So we understand that sometimes man will cover sin. He'll cover sin by lying to others. He'll cover sin by lying to himself. You know, somebody can lie to themselves so much that they believe it. And you cannot even convince them of the truth because they're living in the lie themselves. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, and if we say we have no sin, it says we deceive who? It says we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in who? The truth is not in us. All right? And so we understand this. We understand that when a person is living in sin, oftentimes they deceive themselves, and the truth is not. You know how many people I've heard say this over the years, and I find it kind of funny, but they say, Elvis is still alive. Now, that's against every documentation that's ever been recorded, but they still believe it. All right? Now, what are they believing? I believe they're believing a lie. But you can take and you can believe something so much that it becomes truth to you. So what happens when a person is not fellowshipping with God, when a person is not communing with God, when a person, if you would please, has decided that they don't want to have confidence in God, here's what they do. Many times they will cover sin. Statement number two, they can also do this, and we highly recommend it. They can confess sin. Now, confession, again, is agreeing with God, sometimes even against your very self, okay? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, if. Now, that's a conditional clause. That means it's in, here's what God has done. God has pitched up the ball, and he hit it to your side of the court, and the ball lands right in front of you. Now, when that happens, you have a choice. Do you take responsibility for it, or do you not take responsibility for it? That's what this verse is talking about. The Bible says if, listen to it now, it says if we confess our sins, now notice it's in the plurality state. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, again in the plurality state. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. I love this, don't you? It says cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he's saying there's not one sin that you confessed before me that I will not forgive. There's not one. It doesn't matter how deep it is. It doesn't matter how wide it is. It doesn't matter how general it is. It does not matter how specific it is. It doesn't matter how hurtful it is. It doesn't matter how much pride is surrounded by it. He says, if you confess it to me, he said, I promise you that I will forgive it. Now, by the way, do you know that God has no trouble with forgiving? But man has an awful, awful time about that. Boy, somebody goes against you, and before you know it, you'll hold a grudge. You'll spend the rest of your life getting grieving lines all over. You'll become old before your time because you're living in such a state that you don't forgive people. Look, if somebody comes up and they slap you, you ought to thank Jesus that God thought you worthy enough to receive the slap. And if you're not thankful for being slapped, it might be because you've got an issue with pride and you think that that is something that is below you. Well, you know, I don't deserve that. You're right, neighbor, you don't. You deserve to burn in hell. And I deserve to burn in hell. Now, if you look at it from that perspective, everything I get above burning in hell is a benefit. So you go down, okay, if you take it from that perspective, when your tire goes flat, you won't get mad at your husband or your wife or the person that put something out there on the roadside or even God, you'll be thankful for a flat tire. You know what I find out? I find out that when people are right with God, they are thankful people. They thank people for the weirdest things. Boy, I broke my arm, preacher. How do you feel about that? Oh, it's wonderful. Boy, I thank God for my broken arm. Now I've got something for you to sign. Well, you didn't have to break it for me to sign it, but okay. You know, I find out that people that are right with God are happy people. They're thankful people. They're insightful people. They're wise people. They are people, if you will, please, that have a state of maturity that's above the common fray. Simply because of the fact that these people know what it's like to be sin-free. See, sin is like a bondage. Sin is like a man coming up and putting chains around you and holding you down to the point and to the place that you yourself are locked away from freedom and you do not understand what it is like to be free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, stay with me now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. You know what that means? That means you can come to church and enjoy it. I said in our type of church where the truth is preached and not held back, people come to church and they leave. They leave, if you will please, either in one or two ways. They leave glad or they leave mad. Now, that's not in every single church service, but thank God the truth is preached so much from the pulpit that many, many times a person will leave in one of those present states of being. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying to confess sin. We confess sin. Why do we do that? Because we have an advocate who is Jesus Christ. That means he's your private attorney. Can you imagine that? Hey, many years ago, I heard the story, and it was told by D.L. Moody. He said that there was a man that walked into the court, and he was having the proceedings read to him, and he was about to have judgment passed on him, but he was a friend of the judge. The judge had to do his rightful course, and the judge had to find him. And in so doing, he followed the letter of the law, and he followed the penalty for this particular judgment that was passed. And he said, today I fine you, and with the gouge going down, he said, I fine you $200. The man began to weep and said, I cannot pay $200. He said, I know, but I still have to pass the judgment because the judgment is right. I fine you today $200. And he took that hammer and he hit the thing and the judgment was now passed. He said, but wait a minute, please. And he walked over to the side of his room and he took off that which was his judgment gown that the judges did wear in those days and he hung it up and he came down and he shook the man's hand and he said, I know you cannot pay, but I'm your friend. And today as your friend, I give you $200. He walked back over and he got his robe of judgment and he put it back on and he said to that one that he just passed judgment on, you may now approach the bench. He came and he said, sir, do you have the money to pay? And with tears running down his cheek, he said, yes, sir, I do. And he handed the judge the $200 that the judge had just walked down and handed him. And he said, your judgment has been met and is paid for. You are dismissed. Can I tell you that's what Jesus Christ did for you? Can I tell you that so much he took on the humanity of man? He left the portals of glory. He left that which was perfect to come to that which is imperfect. He left that which was right to come to that which was unright. He left that which was holy to come to that which was unholy. He left that which was pure to come to that which was impure. He left that which was bright to come to that which was night. He came down here to take the penalty that you and I owe as sinners already judged before a holy God. And yet, if we fulfill our judgment, we'll die, we'll burn in hell, but I've got news for you this morning. Your judgment has been paid for by the very blood of Christ. And because of that, you can shout amen. You can get excited about the things of God. Why? Because God cared for you. I'm saying that you cover sin sometimes, and sometimes we confess sin. When we confess sin, we have Jesus Christ the advocate. He's the one that takes our place. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate, it says, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We understand that Jesus Christ is the one that paid for our sin. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 2, the Bible says he is the propitiation, it says, of our sins. It says, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know what I like? I like the ministry that God has given me and the ministry that God has given you. The ministry of reconciliation. That has been handed down from God the Father to God the Son and from God the Son to you and I. And God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ability to be able to take the gospel of Christ and be able to go out and show lost man how he can be reconciled to holy God. Amen. Now, by the way, everybody needs that. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter what type of house they live in. It does not matter what type of car they drive. It does not matter how fat their bank account is. It does not matter how many friends they have. It does not matter what their political status is. It does not matter who their neighbors are. It doesn't matter who their mama is or who their papa is. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you this morning that everybody deserves the right to be able to hear the good news of how they can be reconciled as a lost sinner to that which is a loving Savior. And when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, can I tell you, when they come to God and they realize and they agree with God against themselves, saying, yes, I am wretched. Yes, I am poor. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I need a Savior. And when they stand in judgment against their self to holy God, and they come to God and they receive Christ as Savior, can I tell you, God forgives them. And when God forgives them, he writes their name in the book of life, sealed until the day of redemption, and you can shout about that on a hot Texas day. I'm saying this. I'm saying that God offers us the opportunity to take care of sin. What does man do? Sometimes man will cover sin. Sometimes man will confess sin. You ready? And I'm done. Sometimes man will conquer sin. You know, the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. There is a way. There is a way. There is a way to take fallen man and redeem him back to God. By the way, and aren't you so glad those disciples came to the Lord one day and they said this, dealing with the subject matter of forgiveness, by the way. They said this, how many times should I forgive a brother? Should I forgive him just 7 times? Should I forgive him 70 times? The answer came back 7 times 70. If I got it down right now, I think it's about 490. You're the mathematician, is that right? 490 times. I did that pretty good. I didn't look it up. 490 times. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying this, that, by the way, when you forgive somebody so many times, don't you think that you'll forget to keep count? I mean, it almost sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Say, how can you do that, preacher? Here's what you do. You forgive every brother and sister that's ever sinned against you before they sin again. Amen. Keep a bank account full of forgiveness. Amen. By the way, if you do that, you listen to me, you'll enjoy people a whole lot more. Amen. Well, so-and-so gets under my skin. Well, get your skin out of the way. Well, so-and-so bothers me. Well, stop letting that person bother you. You say, I can't love them. You can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you. You may not can love them individually, but through Christ you can love them. Just depends how much you rely on him and how much you rely on you. So some conquer sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says this. But the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The Bible says over in Psalm 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, thy word, it says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. One day, an old farmer got kind of fed up. He had all these pesky crows that was following in and just taking advantage of his corn crop. And he said, I'm going to get them. He went in and got the shotgun that hung over top of the fire mantle, and he put two shells in it, double rear shotgun. He came out there, and man, he shot one into the corn, killed some of those birds. The others, of course, just flew off rapid course to get out of there. He fired that second barrel, killed a bunch of crows. All of a sudden, he walked over there to see how many crows he had killed, and there was his favorite parakeet. There it was, just laying there, wounded. That old wing cracked in half, caught one of those little pebbles that came out of that shotgun blast. And that little parakeet just laying right there, that little parrot just laying right there. His children came up and said, "Daddy, Daddy, why in the world did you shoot our parrot?" He said, "Well, I can tell you one thing. He was in bad company." How many times does somebody say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I wasn't robbing the store. I was just sitting in the car waiting on them." What's that called, preacher? Bad company. See, the Bible says here that we're supposed to walk in the light as He is in the light. In other words, there's some places that we ought to walk, and there's some places that we ought not to walk. Amen. Now listen to it, and I'm almost done. Look, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. You'll like it if you look at it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. By the way, it's good to be in a church that uses the Bible. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. Here's what it says. The Bible says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." So when we're dead, listen to me now. In other words, when we're crucified with Christ, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me." It helps me to overcome personal sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Now if we be dead with Christ," says, "we believe that we shall also live with him." Look at it in verse 9. We're in Romans 6 for those that are just turning there now. It says, "Knowing that Christ," it says, "being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." Now watch this in verse 10. Look down in verse 10. The Bible says here, it says, "For in that he died." He died, it says, unto sin once. The Bible says, in him, it says, but in that which he liveth unto God. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So what do? I die to self. You know what? If I did die to self, I would not be thirsty after sinful things. Now, I remember the day that my daddy received Christ as Savior. I remember the day. I do. I remember the day he called me and told me about the time he received Christ as Savior. I was so happy about that. And I remember him also telling me, "You know all that liquor I had around the house?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, no more." I said, "What'd you do with it?" He said, "I poured it down the drain." Now, watch this, if you will. You know, when a person gets saved, it changes them. It does change them. You know, we become a new man. We put away old things. We put away childish things. Now, but wait a minute. I want to help you out just a little bit. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it. You can lead a man to a new dimension or to a new level or to a new position, but you can't make him take it. I could offer you a job today that paid perhaps an executive status amount, but if you chose not to take it, then that's not my bad. Right. Is that right? Yeah. See, Jesus Christ can offer himself to all humanity. But if humanity spits on the offer, walks away, and says, "That I don't believe, that I don't want, that I'm not going to receive," then can I tell you, that's their choice. But I still have the responsibility to reach out to that which is humanity. Now, wait a minute, watch this. The Bible is talking here in these particular scriptures I read to you just a moment ago about dying to self. So as I die to that which is self, here's what takes place. When I die to self, I become alive onto Christ Jesus. The more alive that I become onto Christ Jesus, the more that I die to self. The more that I die to self, the less I'll be offended, the less I'll be hurt, the less I'll be damaged. Because when I walk in that which is an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, I am surrounded by that which is the love of God. So now I feel accepted. Come on. Okay, stand up and start talking to each other. If you don't mind, just go ahead and start fellowshipping together like you men often do while I preach. All right, now watch this, if you will. Okay? I see two business-type looking individuals standing in the hallway. And they're talking. I can think this. Ooh. They're probably talking about me, how the other day when I took my truck down to pick up my pants, keep talking, just enjoy yourself. You know, you can get permanent creases in your pants. Did you know that? Sometimes when you take them to the dry cleaner, they think it needs two. I can't stand that. I'm picky. So I took my clothes to the dry cleaners and they put another one. Now I got two permanent creases in my pants. I said, that won't do. I'm not going to do it. So I was going to take them back. And so I took them back. And I said, ma'am, I said, you put two creases in my pants and that's more than what I paid for. I'd like for you to take one of them out and give me back some money. Give me a deduction. Or at least take one of them out. She said, we can take one of them out. Oh, I was so excited. I got in my fancy truck, my Toyota Sequoia. I backed out of that parking lot, and I backed right into a pillar and put a crease in the back of my truck. I went to get a crease out of my pant leg that would have cost me probably $2.50. And I put a crease in the back of my truck that's probably going to cost me $250. And let's say that these gentlemen know about that. And let's say that perhaps you being in my state or me being in my own is a little bit irritated about what I just did. Not blaming anybody but the pole. That pole moved, you know. But knowing where the rightful blame should be, I'm a little bit irritated with myself because I didn't look in that mirror quite the way I should have. And I got a brand new crease in the back of my truck that doesn't belong there. Now all you after church are going to go look at it, aren't you? Some of you fellas are going to come up to me after that. You're going to say, that's going to cost you more than $250. But I see these two fellas standing out there in the hallway, and they're business fellas, and they go to the same church that I go to, and I walk by and I hear them say one word that catches me: crease. Crease. Yeah, Brother Butler said food. That's because that's all he thinks about. And so I walk by and I hear that word crease. And boy, when I do, it just, ooh, I can't believe they're talking about me. But he wasn't talking about the crease in my pants, nor was he talking about the crease that's in my car. He's talking about the crease that he has in his budget or something. But I take it the wrong way. Now, listen to me. Did you know that if I'm dead to self and I'm walking by there and they mention that word crease, I'm going to say, whoa, did you hear? Hey, you heard?
What?
Did you hear I backed my truck into a... Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, let me tell you this story. It's funny. Now, it's sad. But it's funny. And let me tell you, you know, and I'm just going to join in and have a good time. Rather than walking by and saying, oh, I tell you what, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. It just bothers me to no end. Oh, I tell you, I'll never be their friends. Man, they're talking bad about me. I tell you what, I tell you, it just bothers me to no end. This just bothers me. Oh, I just can't even stand to be around them now because I know who they are. And, you know, and all right, now wait a minute. I'm telling you, when you're right with God, you give people grace.
Right.
You give them grace. You know, and when we're right with God, many times you can go up and say, hey, listen, hey, what are you guys doing? What are you talking about? You talking about what?
Pizza. Maxwell House Coffee.
Maxwell House Coffee. I'd fellowship with anyone except around Maxwell. No, I'm kidding. And so we begin to talk. Thank you, be seated. And so watch this. I'm saying when you die to self, it helps you. Some of you poor souls, you listen to me. You come to church and you regret it. Well, I got to go to that church. Yeah, I got to drag myself in there. I don't like the person, people. I don't like the personality. I don't like the program. You know, I don't like the punching of the preacher. Man, I just don't like the pianist. I don't like any other piece you want to throw in there. I don't like any of it. All right? And so what happens is that's the way we leave. Oh, come on. But you know, if you come to church looking for a blessing, you'll probably find it every time. Sure you will. Let me give you a story and I'm done. Years ago, the Queen Elizabeth ocean liner had served so many years in crossing the Atlantic, done such a spectacular job, and it was still a pretty worthy boat, pretty worthy ship, that some private investors decided, hey, we can turn that Queen Elizabeth into a floating hotel and make some good revenue off of it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to turn it into a floating hotel. So they decided they were going to take down the old smokestack. They decided they're going to redo everything and overhaul the whole thing. When they put those cranes around that old smokestack and they lifted that off of the Queen Elizabeth, it shattered into dust. They brought in the engineers and thought, what in the world? Why in the world did it shatter into dust? They found out through their study that old smokestack that looked like it was firmly in place had rusted out probably over a generation ago. What was holding it together was the 32 coats of paint that was put on it. And so when they put the crane, the hand of that crane to it and started to lift it up, it just shattered into dust. See, here's the way we are. If we're not careful, we can look pretty good on the outside. And because we look pretty good on the outside, we have ourselves sometimes and everybody else fooled that everything is A-okay. But all of a sudden, when the squeeze comes, we shatter into dust. Wouldn't it be good tonight if our relationship with God was just as strong, yea, stronger, than our relationship with man? How do we do that? Make sure you keep a short sin account, and God will bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.